do this shown upon us each and every day. For your care, Lord, your protection, all that you do.
Pray for our nation, Lord, the many problems it has. I pray, Lord, that our leaders might turn to you. But, Lord, we know your end-time plans being worked, Lord, before our eyes. Help us, Lord, to remember to be vigilant, to be seeking the lost, Lord. Help us to be praying, Lord, for folks to come to us seeking you, Lord. I pray today, Lord, that if someone here in this house needs to know you in any way, Lord, that that person would get right with you before they leave the building today. Guide and direct our pastor today, Lord. He's going to be preaching. Give him the strength that he needs, Lord, to deliver that message you laid in his heart. Help it, Lord, to speak to people here today. Be with us, Lord. Just help us remember to shake a hand, say hi, give a hug, whatever it is, Lord. Help us remember to fellowship with each other. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. One more song here. 343, please. 343.
I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing's
together service with Walnut Park here at church. Going to have a bit of dessert after that. That's at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Personal evangelism is going to meet the 28th, 22nd. There's no evening service this week. Tonight's service is taking care of that. And then we have Thanksgiving on Thursday. See, women's Bible study dates, check with Autumn or Sandra. Quarterly business meetings coming up the 10th. And then pastor soft of the week. If we really explored the concept of thankfulness, there would be an end to the complaint department. Whew, that's good stuff. Guys, you come forward. Take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time we come together. Here in your house, Lord. Praising your name. Just doing what we need to, Lord, for you. Thank you for the opportunity to give just a small portion back to you, Lord. Thank you for the Thanksgiving holidays coming up this week, Lord, if you tarry. I do pray that as we've been singing and talking, Lord, that we'll remember to give thanks to you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Our very existence is because of you, Lord. Help us today, Lord. Just be with us all. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
bunch of us guys are going to sing now. I think so, because I ain't doing no solo. Okay, thank you. You coming out? Good, good man. 8:21. Oh, we got a lot of takers. That's good. Good deal.
Number 821 in our hymnal. 821, guys. It's a marvelous hymn of the great work Jesus our Savior did on the cross. Grace that is greater than all our sin. It's the first and last stanzas, guys. First and last stanzas.
I'm done, right? Yeah. Okay. Pastor, it's all yours.
I'll be right there, Lonnie.
Thank you, Lonnie, for getting us started here today. That's okay. And welcome to one and all to morning worship. It's good to see a good number out today on a beautiful autumn day. Hopefully today you're basking in God's grace and thankfulness in your heart, and I pray today that as we look into His Word, that we'll do a self-introspection of where we lie in our relationship with the Lord, and know this today, that His grace is still sufficient, and He loves you and I dearly this day, no matter where we find ourselves. So anyway, I welcome you on that basis, and this is Thanksgiving week, where there's a national holiday directed for a time of thanksgiving, and I think everyone has reasons to give thanks. So I pray this week it won't just be about the festivities, but it'll truly be based in thankfulness. Now, there's several things this morning, and again, I want to welcome everyone, especially if you're visiting with us today, but there's several things that we need to consider this morning that are part of our day here yet to come, should the Lord tarry. First of all, Lonnie illustrated to you and talked to you about coming this afternoon. We will not have our regular evening service today, but that will be at 2 p.m. this afternoon. And that will be a joint service with Walnut Park and some other area churches that we've invited. And I really want to invite you to come. This is not going to be a service of preaching. It's going to be a service of thanksgiving and testimony about our thanksgiving, some uplifting music, and then to culminate the whole thing, some dessert fellowship in Fellowship Hall. So I really want to invite you to come back. I know it's a short turnaround. We will be done early. I promise you, come back and, again, rejoice with fellow believers from maybe a place that you don't even, you know, you don't maybe know these people. And take that time just to get your Thanksgiving week started in thanksgiving to the Lord. Also, right after we're done this morning, we need our Reader's Theater groups need to run through each of your groups. It'll take 5 minutes and we're done, okay? And it'll be okay, Woodrow. I guarantee. Come back. That'll be worth it all just to see these Reader's Theater groups and the message of Thanksgiving that they have. But we're going to run through those very quickly, and then we got to go have some lunch and get right back here. So 2 o'clock this afternoon, there will not be a regular evening service. There will not be a Wednesday evening service either this week. So plan accordingly with that, and then your walk with the Lord. So I'm glad to see you all today, and I hope, again, that you're thankful today to be under the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not in your life, this is a day He wants you to come under that care. And I'll tell you what, He loves us dearly, and that's the basis of all thanksgiving, His goodness to us, because everything comes from Him. And of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, me. And so I trust that'll be the motive of your heart every day, but also especially this week. This morning is part 3. The bulletin says it's the concussion. And so I pray, it's actually a conclusion, but I pray that someone will have a concussion about our sin. And, you know, this is a very poignant thing to think about, but I want to warn us all again, and if you're visiting or been here the first time, we are Satan's targets. If you're a born-again Christian here today, but it's not just the Christians that are targets, it's everyone. If you're not in Jesus' camp, if you've never been bought by His blood and yielded to Him, you're under the authority of Satan in your life today. And so you remember last week I declared a satanic attack warning. Did anyone take that seriously? Remember I compared it. Thank you, some did. You don't have to tell me, it's between you and the Lord. But, you know, like I said last week, when there's a tornado warning, people get their cameras out and go out and see if they can see it. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. Don't do that with Satan, because I'll tell you, he's dangerous. He is dangerous, but don't ever forget, God has overcome him. He's defeated. He's a defeated foe, and Jesus will give you the victory. Well, enough said on that. I think I've said everything we need to talk about preliminarily. So we're going to go to prayer. We'll take just a few moments here as we adjust our hearts to worship, and then we're going to do part 3, or the conclusion, and maybe the concussion of Satan's targets. And so we'll begin. Let's bow together and go to prayer. Our Father in heaven, once again today, as we assemble under your grace, on the first day of the week, as the believers, the body of believers, we thank you, Lord, for the basis of what we worship and who we come for. And that is not about us, Lord, it's about you. But yet we recognize, Lord, that while you are the all-important thing in all history, you are the creator, sustainer, the redeemer of the universe and of mankind. And so today we focus our attention on you with thoughts today, Lord, of adoration, of praise, of worthiness. Help us, Lord, in our hearts today to bow the knee before your throne as we look into your word. Lord, to have our hearts open and receptive to the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you today that your love for us never ends, and that you have placed us in such an important place that you were willing to die as God in the flesh for our sin, to pay the penalty, to satisfy the demands of your Father, that we might be declared righteous through your blood in the sight of your Father. Lord, that is heady stuff. It is important stuff. I pray today you'd stop the hearts and minds of people to think about that, Lord. We think about Thanksgiving week. Yeah, everyone's looking forward to time off and to fellowship and gathering, but this is really all about you, Lord. It ought to be that way every day, that we would bow in thanksgiving to you, Lord. Touch our hearts today, I pray. May the Spirit be active in this time together today. Lord, we are concluding here with a message about satanic attack and us being targets. Lord, next Sunday we will have a Thanksgiving message, Lord willing, that will direct our hearts there, but we can be thankful today that you have overcome and are victorious over your adversary, Satan. So now, Lord, with these practical points this morning, may we be able to arm ourselves with your armor, to put that armor on, Lord, to have the shield of faith that deflects those fiery darts that Satan shoots our way, and Lord, to take an inventory this morning of our weaknesses and of our vulnerabilities before you. I pray that that'll be affected in our time together this morning. Now, Lord, as always, we think of different situations within our group here, and also, Lord, we think of our own community here at Fruitland, the people outside of our walls. Lord, we live in the midst of a land, a world, a community that is needy for you. Today, Lord, as we are here to worship you, there are people going by on that street today. Maybe they're thinking, I ought to be there, but I'm not going to. I'm going to make that choice. I pray today, Lord, you'd speak to the hearts of our friends and neighbors here in our community, our families and loved ones, Lord, that they again would want to see you face to face. Now, Lord, we realize there are people in our midst here, our own group, that are ill. Some are maybe even angry, some disgruntled, some may be depressed. There could have been a fight today in a home. Lord, wayward children, wayward spouses, you name it, Lord, it's all there. And people with physical ailments too, Lord, illnesses, and also, Lord, spiritual illnesses. I pray today that you'd bind up the wounds, heal the troubles, Lord, and bring them back to full health to you in record time. Now, especially today, we do pray for the Hubbard family as they are journeying home. We thank you again for the life of Mrs. Hubbard, Charlene, and, Lord, the impact they had on this church years ago and still yet this day. And I pray, Lord, all the people that came to visit and to celebrate her life would be thinking about you today, Lord, and thinking again about the work that was planted here at Fruitland as we gather today with Walnut Park. And, Lord, about what is to come in the future. And I pray that you will use us mightily here at Fruitland in that effect. Now, Lord, you know me. I'm the weak link in all this. I need your help. I need the power of the Spirit. I claim no power or anything else, Lord, here today other than to be your vessel. And you know I'm a weak one. So I pray for your help. And I ask these things now in that wonderful name, the most wonderful, greatest name ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, we're going to conclude this message today, Lord willing, and we ended up last week with getting through a few of the factors that a Christian has in their lives that leaves us vulnerable to satanic attack and vulnerable to a fall. And folks, every one of us in here is in that position. You know yourself the weak points that you have in your life. You know, I've often used this illustration coming from the farm about hogs. And I still have a desire to raise hogs, even though many people have told me not to do it anymore. And I think I'm actually going to listen on this. But hogs are an animal, and again, you can go back when this parallels with satanic attack. You can go back to a guy that's found in the New Testament, in the book of Luke. His name is Legion. He was a man that was possessed by many demons. And when Jesus cast those demons out of Legion, he cast them into the hogs, and a herd of swine, it's recorded, ran over a cliff and into the sea. Jason, have I got a problem? Oh, I thought you were motioning to me. Well, I've got a lot of problems, but hopefully not with the sound today, all right? And so I've always jokingly said, but not only half jokingly, that I think hogs still today are demon-possessed. Because I'll tell you what, friends, hogs will go for every crack in any fixture that tries to contain them. If they even sense a little ray of possibility that they can get out, that snout is up there working that, and they will work until they will get through it. And I'll tell you what, it's like that with Satan with us. He knows the cracks in our gates, and he never stops shooting at those places. He knows the vulnerable things in all of our lives that we could yield to him on. Folks, every one of us, I mentioned several things last week, but it could be anything. And we all have these things, don't we? Am I just up here talking crazy this morning? This is real stuff. And Satan's goal is to defeat you and I. His goal is to separate us from the love of God. By the way, it cannot happen. If you're genuinely born again here today, Jesus is never going to let you go. But folks, you can resist him. You won't lose your salvation but you will lose the blessings and joys of your life if you get derailed by Satan. And that's what he wants. He wants company in hell for an unbeliever that might be here today. That's his goal, to see you go there with him. He isn't a fan of being alone. Anyway, we've rehearsed many of the things and how this all came to be. So today, I just want us to again think about the inventory of our own life and those weak points. Now, I'm going to recap very briefly the points that preceded today that we did last week. But the answer, again, quickly under this, is that everyone is vulnerable to Satan. But the first point was an open mind, but not to the things of God. And I illustrated that last week. If your mind's floating around and it's open, you're a target for Satan. You and I are. I'm not just preaching to you folks. I'm preaching to myself. The second vulnerability, I'm having a hard time getting those words out this morning, may revolve around four P's that we looked at last week. When you get too much prosperity, too much power, too much pride, or too little in poverty. All those make us very susceptible to satanic attack. And we learned in that category, pray to God, he'll give you just what you need to get along and trust him. Don't get on any of those tangents and trust God. Anyway, you'll have to listen to it if you want to hear more, if you weren't here. The third thing is places of temptation that are literal and also in the mind. By the way, don't give your mind time to wander. And idle times, this is not scriptural, but it is based in scripture. Idle hands are the devil's, or idle time is the devil's workshop. So stay busy. You know, we live in a day where people want a lot of leisure time. They don't want to be tied down to anything. But let me just assure you, folks, if you let your mind wander, you let your wife, your wife wander too. She'll do it to you as well. You're putting yourself in a dangerous position. Be involved with constructive things in your life. Things, again, that would make us move closer to the Lord than further away. We all know what's going on there. And I gave scripture last week about that. The third thing is, well, I already mentioned that, but James chapter 1, 13 through 16 is what we looked at that gives us how these things happen. I mentioned just a few last week: the internet, spending, buying, shopping, the casino, pie, pornography, gaming, opposite sex situations, mind-altering substances, and you can go all the way down the line, folks. We could talk all day. So here's the fourth one this morning. Now, most of us have probably noticed that in churches today, not every church, but in many, and Fruitland has a good mix, but we think of our senior saints, of which I technically, Kim and I are senior saints, aren't we, Kim? Yeah. But you know what? Here's something to think about here. There's two gamuts, from old to young. Now, I know many of you, some of you at least in here, are widows or widowers or have been. I want to tell you what the fourth point that I believe opens people up to satanic attack is that I had categorized from this message. Number one is being alone. Loneliness, when you lose a spouse, when you lose a loved one, when a routine changes in your life, maybe it's a move to a different area, whether young or old in that case. But folks, that is something I have observed. I believe that places people in a great place of vulnerability. Sometimes the emotional things that go along with the loss of a spouse or singleness can be very detrimental. And one of the first things I've observed with that type of situation is that people, even born-again Christians, tend to want to have less to do with God's community, the church, than more. Can I hear if I'm anywhere close on that? I think it's a tendency. I think Satan, in our loneliness and grief, separates us, separates people from, again, the flock and from the Lord in many cases. Now, it is not always the case, but I believe it's worth thinking about. So those are dangerous areas, but the opposite side of that, and this might apply to younger people or older people, but it's running with a crowd. You understand what I'm talking about here? A lot of people like to get involved with groups, and the group becomes very important. And I've seen it in my own eyes through the years in many situations. I'll illustrate those to you privately. But when you start to run with the herd, no good thing comes of it. Because you know what happens? Sometimes the herd veers off in a different direction. And you know what? Peer pressure exists in all ages. And you will run with that herd and you'll run right over the cliff like those hogs did when Jesus cast those demons out. I'll tell you who we need to be running with, folks. We need to be running with Jesus. And if you're married here today, you have a spouse, you need to be running with he or she. You need to be primarily concerned about your family. And later on, yes, the family of God. But folks, either being lonely or left alone, isolating yourself or running with the crowd is prime turf and area for satanic attack. This morning, I'd like us to turn to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And I will put this into a higher gear this morning. But what I'm saying is what the Bible confirms in Proverbs. It says, in a multitude of counselors there is safety. You know what? You're not only my brothers and sisters in Christ here, you're my counselors. You're the ones I'm going to go to for advice. Last week at L&M when I was teaching, I had one student said, I'm going to start calling you Dr. Phil. Because of the bald head. Of course, you know how it is down there at school. I tell them, you know, there's always choices when you come with me to class. You can do it my way, or there's a door. And anyway, but yeah. But folks, be careful where you go for your advice. Remain connected with believers. And folks, the connecting point for the believers is the local church. This church needs strengthened. We need to understand that God has given us a gift in this local church, that He has equipped this church for all of our needs, folks. We all have a part in it, and it's not all about us and what we get. It's also about what you give. And folks, I'm not talking about the plate, the offering plate. I'm talking about of yourself and the gifts that God has given you to use with others. That's the church. We must remain connected. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Here, the writer of Hebrews, which we could get into a church split over who that was, or there, I think there were two myself. Just in case you wonder, I think it was probably Paul that wrote part of it and a guy named Apollos. Some of you wouldn't agree with that. But I'm not going to make an issue about it. But here's what's written, though, in this Holy Writ. It says here in verse 24, and let us consider ourselves to do it our way. That's not what it says, is it? What's it say? Let us consider one another. When you think about things, don't think about yourself all the time. Think about others. Think about what you do and what they do with you. Folks, we have to interact together. Well, we don't have to, but it won't work as a local church. Simple as that. But it says, let us hold fast, but the verse I'm on, and let us consider or think about or include one another to provoke unto love and good works. Our objective should not be within the Christian community to tear each other down, but to build one another up and encourage one another in our walk of faith, because we're under what? Satanic attack. We need our allies, and that is our brothers and sisters in Christ, my friends, under the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can't just stop with that verse, but we need to go to verse 25. And what does the writer tell us? Not forsaking the what? The church is the assembly, folks. This is the gathering point. This is the connect point for Christians. By the way, I got to stop there because I forgot to say something that I was going to say, and I don't know if we had a slide up or not today. We are working on revitalizing Sunday school here at Fruitland. After the first of the year, you're going to see some differences. I want to just promote something very quickly. We are going to have a class called the Inquisitors, folks. This is a class to connect people to the church. Maybe some of you have been disconnected from the church. Maybe some of you have never been connected to the church. God's institution here, His program on earth. This is going to be a freewheeling class. Come and ask any question you want. Come in a laid-back situation and learn about the things of God and about the church. Make it something, again, through your having questions answered or concerns answered, not just about Fruitland, but the church in general. What is all this about? Folks, we've been disconnected. You know why the churches are not filled today? Tell me. It's the thrust of this message. Because Satan has gotten into the mix, and he says it has no value. Revitalized Sunday school here at Fruitland has value. Be there, or a 70s term, or be square. Well, don't be square, but be there, okay? Be looking for that. We'll be talking more about that to come. Don't waste our days away. Make our days valuable for Jesus. Here it is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Even the writer there to the Christians, the converted Hebrews, was saying what? People don't value God's church. They want to be left alone. But alone is what? Dangerous. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Isn't it interesting? As the days grow shorter, it's all prophesied in Scripture, as we come nearer to the return of Jesus Christ, the church is losing, and in most cases has lost its potency. Duh! He knew it was going to happen that way. God's program for the church is going to end because the church's program for God has ended. To a great extent. And you're living in that today, folks. You don't think this is real? It's satanic. A community the size of Fruitland, 800 to 900 people. We should have had three auditoriums here, full. But Satan's disconnected everyone. And he's working to disconnect even the people within the church. I'm telling you, folks, that's where it's at. All right, enough said, or you want me to go more? Who said go, Don? Get going. Get to going. Here's the fifth one. Rocky or broken personal situations. Vulnerability for Satan. By the way, whatever situations you have in your life, you strengthen those. Don't tear them down. If you and the wife are having a battle, strengthen it. I'd even say this tongue in cheek. Give up, men. Don't keep fighting them. Let them have their way to preserve what God has given you as a gift. Kim, you didn't have your hearing aid on for that. No. We still really have a good time. We really do. Oh, there's times. We haven't slammed the door for, well, I don't know. Kim is a door slammer. I'm the door repairer. Can't we have fun a little bit? Sure we can. Well, most of you have been around our place. It's crazy. Don, isn't it crazy out there? Oh, yeah. Rocky or broken personal situations. Marriages. What about the child-parent thing? What about the work? I go to this restaurant uptown. It says, I love my job, but I hate my boss. Who said that, too? If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Anyone want to testify to that here? No, we don't have time this morning. What about troubles in the church? Folks, that's another idea Satan's pushed over. Oh, the church should be perfect. So if you get involved in a church like Fruitland that is not perfect, oh, what's wrong? Well, there's a lot wrong. But that's how it is because the church is made up of saved sinners. Get it right because that's what Satan uses to attack. You know, I mentioned to a couple people observing the visitation for Mrs. Hubbard, and Kim and I couldn't be here for the funeral yesterday. But you know what? If all the people this church has had contact with over the years, it wouldn't be Calvary that's the mega church want to be. It'd be Fruitland Baptist that was the genuine church. Big. But guess what got in the mix of a lot of it? I don't care. You may not like what I'm saying. Satan! And he's not done. But neither is Jesus. The church is important. We can do it right even on the way out. Don, keep going. Okay, 6th point. But be careful about those things. They're danger zones, and they're a very big target. 6, depression and despair, grief and doubt. We are under a record time where people are under substances to try to correct emotional deficiencies in their life. You know, the student called me Dr. Phil down there, but folks, Dr. Phil's not good. He might be able to help you some. But I'm going to tell you this morning, you better go to the great physician. You better go to the top. Why do you mess around with people that don't have the education levels that the educator has, who is Jesus Christ, the great physician? Sure, depression, things like that are real things. But Jesus can help you overcome those real things, folks. He won't do it artificially. He'll do it genuinely. You can find joy in Jesus. Remember, this whole thing here is just for a while. When you look at life, it's a fly speck on the wall of eternity. Get over it. Sure, grief is real. You miss a loved one. There's things that happen in life. Yeah, you'll never get over that. But with Jesus, you can get across the bridge. You don't have to drop into the river or the valley of despair forever. Jesus wants you to have victory. He did not die for us to what? And rise again for us to be what? Oh, Eeyores. Some of you don't know who Eeyore is, probably. There is a recording somewhere from back in the early 60s of me quoting Winnie the Pooh on tape. Kim, I think, knows about that. But I like that story. And I think there's a lot of Eeyores around. We'll use the term donkeys. You saw my smile. I'll tell you at the door if you didn't understand it. Depression, despair, grief, and doubt, folks, it's going to get you every time. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, let's quote it together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And you could go to thousands more illustrations like that in Scripture. That's where you got to go, folks. All the rest of the stuff, it'll never bring you satisfaction. It'll never deliver you from your despair. 7. I've already alluded to this, so we'll keep it simple. And your personal weak points, we all have them and more. Do you know your weak points today? Because they're the targets of Satan. They're your targets. It's his targets. So quickly, in our last 5 minutes, the strategy to ward off an attack. I already alluded to Ephesians 6. I said we weren't going to go into that a lot. But you can read that chapter. But the key thing there is you've got to put on the armaments of God and the weapons of God. There's a song, and it slips my mind right now, but we put every piece on with prayer. Help me. What is that song? I had it on the tip of my tongue. But we've got to put these armaments on how often? Maybe multiple times a day. Both offensive weapons, and we need the defensive armor to, again, as it says, I believe in verse 6. No, that's not right. We may have to turn there yet. Someone help me on that because we're short on time today. But we need to put on the shield of faith to ward off what? The fiery darts, the attacks of the wicked one of Satan in our lives. Ephesians 6 is so important. So this is my summation on that. The closer we stay to Jesus, the less vulnerable we are. We will be attacked, but we will not fall. Remember, Jesus knows the playbook, and he has already defeated Satan. When we put that armor on, it's verse 6. It just came to me. When we put that on, the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts, he'll help us. And never forget what 1 John 4:4 says. We are not dealing with the Lord here as some minor force. Remember 1 John 4:4? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Take the power of God. It's there for you unless you resist it. And I resist it, folks. And the last part is found in James chapter 4. Let's turn there quickly in 3 minutes. Hebrews, James, you might have been right there anyway. James chapter 4. And really the whole chapter here has a lot to do with this. But talks about the grace of God. But I want to direct us down to verse 7. And when you're under satanic attack, here's the first thing. Verse 7 says, do what? Submit. It doesn't say fight back. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Then it says, do what? Resist the devil, and what will happen? He will flee from you. That's the short recipe given in Scripture of dealing with satanic attack in your life and in mine. Submit to God, acknowledge where you're at, resist Satan, put off the things of Satan, put on the things of Christ, Ephesians chapter 4, and then what? Satan will what? He flees. Yep. By the way, when Jesus was tested in the wilderness, you remember how that all took place? We could preach a whole sermon on that. I have before. He was tested in his flesh, but you know what? He resisted. He submitted to his Father through the Word. He resisted Satan, and Satan did what? He departed. He stopped the attack. Folks, that's how it's done. It's that simple. Actually, I should have gone back further, but let's go back to verse 4 quickly. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? By the way, he's not talking here about physical adultery. He's talking about spiritual adultery. I don't want you to raise your hands, but can you acknowledge, can I acknowledge today that you are a spiritual adulterer? And I can. Because my, and I'm not asking you to, but I am not focused on the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. There's other things that have stepped between he and my walk. I think you would all identify with that. It is part of that attack. It's a part of Satan's defenses or offenses to weaken us. He says, whosoever then is the friendship of the world is what? If your main concerns today and mine are on the things of the world and not the things on the, of the Spirit, folks, we got a problem. We got a problem. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the, read it to me, class, the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? God is envious of you and his love. He doesn't want to share you with Satan and his forces. He's jealous. He's exactly right. But as it says in verse 6, he gives what? By the way, not one of us in this room is not under the grace of God today. He's still giving grace, but that grace may not be there forever. That's his thing. But as of today, his grace still works in us. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now back over to verse 8. Draw near or nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's the second thing. Draw near to God, confess your sins, and let him clean you up. He will do that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to keep walking in the hog wallow. Going back to the hog analogy, we can get out and get a clean up from the Lord and get set straight again. Folks, that may be where we're at today. Periodically, I need that. We all do. Verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Does that mean you just go sit down and have a cry? Well, maybe, but there's more to having that cry. It's to really be touched with what God is doing and where you're at in your life and mine. It's to get serious about it and say, Lord, I'm broken to pieces about what's going on in my heart. I'm broken to pieces about my attitudes toward you, toward others. I'm so far away from you, Lord, I need help to get back on track. You know what? a lot of us shouldn't be laughing about anything. We ought to be convicted about the gravity of our sin. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Let's be sure that we have it right. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. If you're down today, Jesus will lift you up. We got to quit. We're out of time. But folks, the summation of all this, we better get serious about our sin, and we better get serious about Jesus, and we better be serious that we're under a satanic attack warning. Amen? That's the conclusion of this message. But the good part of this is that Jesus yet today in His grace prevail, and He has a fount filled with His blood, and it has come from Emmanuel's veins that will cleanse the foulest sin. And today is a day, my friends, Jesus is waiting for you. I ask this, if there's someone here that has never received Christ as his Savior, by the way, it's by believing in Him, having faith in what He did. First of all, that we're sinners, and that He came and died and took the penalty that we should have had, which is death for eternity in hell, punishment. But He loves us that much. This is another day, you know, if you're not there, you're going to pass by a day of God's grace. You're going to pass by a day where things could be different. Jesus is there for us today. And then if you're a born-again believer that's here today, but you're struggling with sin in your life, like I am. By the way, sometimes I think here at Fruitland, I'm the only sinner here. But I know better. Because the book says it. Today's the day to get back on track with Jesus. You don't have to do anything publicly, but you know what? Why make it private? If you're that excited today and you're that desirous to be to receive help from Jesus, why not make it public? But bottom line, however you choose to do that, I pray that you'll do something today about this situation. Because as I said in our morning Sunday school class, by the way, we were talking in our morning junior, senior high class about lying. Who hasn't never told a lie? We all have, but our sin is what, class? Remember that this morning? Jay Don? Kinzer? They weren't listening. Are you? It's dangerous. Enough said, amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand, please, if you're able. 41. Now, this is a precursor to Thanksgiving. We'll have our message, Lord willing, next week. But can you utter a prayer of thanksgiving to Jesus today for what He's done? Can you utter a prayer today of thanksgiving to Jesus for His Word? There were a lot of answers given this morning to the plight of humanity. He is the answer. He's the reason. Are you thankful for Him today? If God's working in your heart, don't resist it. Run to Him. And again, it's another day when He says, I love you, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, I call it Thanksgiving vacation, rest when we're thankful in Him. Here we go. First one. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Amen. Doug Chatfield, dismiss us, please.